Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
I know they're awake in Kerry this morning because they very quietly celebrated yesterday's All-Ireland win. They're just too used to winning. They barely celebrate. This is title number 39. It's nearly boring for them now. I was lucky to be in Croke Park, Park and Croke yesterday. Last ministry was involved. But what a privilege to watch that man win a championship, and with such generosity towards his teammates. It's a singularity of talent and superlative in the nature as a footballer. A special moment to see David Clifford, while holding his little son, lifting Sam Maguire with his older brother, Paddy. They sadly lost their mum, you'll know, Ellen, in 2023. She was only 6 years of age. What a story they have. And I saw their father as well down in the pitch after the long after the celebrations and the TV cameras had turned away. Dermot Clifford, he was down there with the team, which was lovely to see. He was looking after Ogie, David's young lad, and their club is Fusa outside Killarney. Now, what was it like as a match to watch? Well, Donegal fans around me kind of went quiet around 12 minutes in. They were devastated at halftime. It was a comprehensive unravelling of a brilliant team. And by the end, Donegal people were kind of puzzled by the Kerry fans. They don't party like the other counties when they win. It's a sort of a low energy elation. And then they sort of slow shuffle off home like it's just the end of Mass or something. It's 39 titles. It doesn't really help, but their go-to celebration song, unfortunately, is the Rose of Tralee. It's like a lament, isn't it? It just kind of flattens the crack. And the stadium was incredibly mostly empty by the time Gavin White lifted the trophy itself. But the Kerry people I met in Wynn's Hotel, where they were all over every bit of Abbey Street and O'Connell Street yesterday evening in between the showers after the match, they told me, no, they celebrate the day after. So today is the day they celebrate. We'll see, we'll see. When it comes to David Clifford, by the way, they're running out of adjectives in the press coverage today. And I know there were very good players who played very well. Joe O'Connor of Tralee and Gavin White himself and Sean O'Shea. But they only really had the space to do so because Superman draws the defenders away from them. And sure, Paddy had a free day. He was totally liberated for the whole afternoon. Donegal set themselves up entirely to stop the younger Clifford, and that freed up the left wing in the first half, and Kerry wreaked havoc the result, and he barely touched the ball compared to his usual days out, but still managed 9 points from 3 2-pointers and 3 1-pointers, and a certain goal was saved as well, stopped on the line. Paddy Clifford said afterwards, "To be called a one-man team is nearly disrespectful. It's kind of personal," he says. However, there's no getting away that the brother hit 8 goals and 62 points in 9 championship matches. 8-62. He is literally the difference, and his presence dominates the game plan of the opposition. All the eyes are on him all the time. And the particular two-pointer that he danced over after the hooter at halftime was totally crushing for Donegal. And somehow, I'm reading this morning, the pundits think there's a competition for Footballer of the Year. By the way, David Clifford, if you don't know much about, he's only 26 years of age right now. He's a PE teacher, St. Brendan's in Killarney. He's not on social media, doesn't go for that. He gets on quietly with his life. He and his partner, Shauna, Sean O'Connor, and their young lad, Ogie, he's turning 4 in September. And in any other country, he'd be multimillionaire professional athlete. But in this country, David Clifford, he just wins and he goes home without a fuss. I met a lot of fans from various counties, as All-Ireland Final Day will bring us all out. I'm talking to a bunch of Meath fans afterwards. Brilliant season for them. They made it to the semi-final despite losing Leinster to Louth. And they're the only side to have actually beaten Kerry in the championship this year. And they're just all asking, everyone's talking, how do you stop Kerry in future? And I'm thinking, you round up a load of counties, a heap of them, right? And you get them to divvy up, get money together to pay an Aussie Rules team to make an insane offer for David Clifford that he can't turn down. And you might get a couple of years rest before he comes back and then does it all over again, because they're only getting started in Kerry. He has 2 All-Irelands from 7 seasons, and it's not the end of a say, I would say. Now, Kerry will be motivated to win title number 40 next year. Meath, by the way, the great year is capped for them with next weekend's All-Ireland final. That's Dublin versus Meath in the women's title, and that's different from last year, so they're very excited about that as well. But the Donegal, brilliant, noisy fans. It was a shame. It was a damp squib of a game for them, because it was an incredible atmosphere in the build-up, the noise. And people were there from 1 o'clock in the afternoon, swarming in Jones's Road. I've never seen anything like it. But there was a few minutes of entertainment for Donegal. It was over way too quickly. I think they closed the gap to 4 points in the second half, but nobody believed the comeback was on the cards, even with Michael Murphy playing out of his skin a few days away from turning 36 years of age. And so the new rules era ironically begins with the usual winners and a gap of 10 points at the end. There isn't a lot of hoarseness, I would say, but at least because of the lack of excitement, you understand. But at least we didn't see the seagulls landing on the pitch, having a nice time during many finals we saw in recent years with the puke finals when the blanket fence would come in. We'll come back to the All-Ireland later on. There's a fresh Kerry man on standby for us this morning. It's not Dathi O'Shea again, as we had on Friday. What did Dathi say to us on Friday morning? He said, "Don't call me again till next Thursday." Is his phone even ringing this morning, actually, Dathi's?
The person you are calling is currently unavailable.
Oh, right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Tá Dathi ag coligasáv salaba. So don't wake him. Don't wake Dathi. Don't even call him. We'll find an entertaining Kerry man very shortly. Don't you worry. By the way, another sport, Páraic Carrington won a seniors open, another seniors major for him. He's the fifth player to win both the British Open, as usual, and the British Open for senior golfers. There you go. The Lions as well have won their series with very little pomp, but the day belonged to Hugo Keane, whose last minute try won that tight game, finally a tight game against the Wallabies for the Red Shirts. 8 wins out of 8. The whole thing is done for another 4 years, but they do have to play a match next Saturday. It'll be a bit of an exhibition. The series is already decided. It's a shame it's all hidden away on Sky, isn't it? Otherwise, I'm sure it would have got a huge audience on Saturday. But nothing much else going on in the press, by the way, other than Trump tariffs everywhere. And it's the rough outline of a trade agreement. What does it mean? We're reliant on, what, 2 or 3 pharmaceutical companies for all of our budgets now. And we prayed for an exemption. We didn't get it. They're still thinking there might be one. It's not going to happen. The snap analysis is that on both sides of the Atlantic, they're fairly unhappy with the outcome. Donal O'Donovan is the group business editor of The Independent. He's saying, trade deal, big win for Donald Trump, bad loss for the Europeans, disaster for the European Union. And he's just saying, Ursula von der Leyen got pretty bad terms, and it's hard to believe anyone else would have come out as badly, because he's portraying it as very much a capitulation, saying Trump is clever, separating goods from services because of the trade deficit on goods in favour of the EU. But if you include the services, then it's more balanced. Tens of thousands of European companies and tens of millions of European workers are put at significant and permanent disadvantage compared to their US rivals, is what he's saying now. He's also pointing out that Keir Starmer, Britain, got 10% versus the 15% in the EU, which means British exporters are now at a significant advantage relative to the EU rivals, and that has huge consequences here. He points out Irish whiskey from Bushmills and Irish butter from Dromona could end up cheaper for US customers. Irish whiskey from the north cheaper than Irish whiskey from the south. I thought we're all in it together and so on. When it came to the crunch, he said the EU lacked the appetite or the cohesion to stare down Trump and test his willingness to risk a trade and markets meltdown, using that theory that Trump always chickens out. So this must be seen as a big win in the US. Well, the Wall Street Journal is saying the deal doesn't address America's biggest commercial grievances with Europe, such as digital taxes, the regulation against the tech firms, and food safety rules, as the restrictions that Europe has on American stuff like the genetically modified food and their hormone-treated US beef remains banned. Nor does it require Europeans to pay more for drugs, which is one of Mr. Trump's long-standing complaints. And they're saying that because the tariff is on the drugs coming across from Ireland to America, Americans will be paying more for drugs via the tariff. And this is an odd way to punish Europe for the price controls that has given it a free ride on American drug innovation. The Irish Times editorial takes a more positive angle, and it's more in line with what the government is saying the main gain is that it avoids the trade war. We could have had a 30% tariff and it's now 15. So that's the thing they're saying. But the talk is all about tariffs. There's no tariff on crack in Kerry. And speaking of Kerry butter, and who's taking the horse to France, would you believe history was made yesterday because the All-Ireland final was broadcast in French for the very first time. This is a digital sports channel called Sportal, I presume is how you pronounce it. First time ever the GA final, any GA final, was shown to the French public in the French language. There are 30 GA clubs across France, and 40% of those teams are in the Brittany region of the country. The commentary is done by Fabien Regnier, who's born in Brittany. He's a GA referee, and he also founded Lorient Gaelic club, along with Mark Branigan, who is from Val. He's a Dublin fella living in France 20 years and a current coach for the national French team. Here they are commentating an exciting moment in the match. Fabien et Marc.
On va dire Donegal, ils avaient un moyen, ils étaient à moins 4 points. Mais Kerry a su gérer cette pression et bloquer leur défense pour empêcher Donegal à marquer ce qu'il fallait.
Attention avec Joe Connor face au but. Et la cerise sur le gâteau, l'apothéose pour cette rencontre, cette finale et la domination incroyable de Kerry dans ce championnat de football gaélique. Joe Connor, qui avait été élu homme du match lors de la précédente rencontre, qui vient parachever le succès incroyable de cette équipe. Alors là, on voit les attaquants de Kerry qui ne défendent même plus, qui lèvent les bras au ciel parce qu'ils savent qu'avec les 15 secondes qui restent, Donegal ne reviendra pas dans cette rencontre.
C'est incroyable. Comme on a dit, a goal en français is but. You hear a but is the goal. That was a Joe O'Connor goal, by the way. Le but, but en français.
Email oliver@rte.ie.